it has been a stormy weekend in the Cape. But here we are with Neil de Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on the Sunday show with Biz News. Morning, Neil.
Yeah, morning, Chris. Less scarring, so it means that we heal a little bit and then we go a little bit, but I feel much better. Stormy Cape, you are right. Warnings out there and such a lot of stuff happening, which is also seemingly blowing into the wind. And the words allegedly and probably going to pop out quite a bit today. But I think let's get into the meat and potatoes. But before we do that, I think on behalf of this show and the Republic of South Africa, the passing of the ex-president in Zambia, Edgar Lungu, who I dealt with before on an African platform. He passed away actually in a South African hospital this past day. So to the people of that country and to his family, rest in peace from our side. And let's get into the show, Chris.
Now, talking about an ill wind blowing, Neil, there seems to be a spate of breakups, but let's focus on one in the public interest, that between U.S. President Donald Trump and billionaire Elon Musk.
Yeah, chocolates and biscuits, cups of tea, little prezzies, hugs, a Tesla here and there bought because we like you. And suddenly, it's like, Chris, we are still getting out of Rama Gate, you know, and our people being hustle and bustled. The most pretentious human being standing in that room that didn't say a word but was there to give that look was our own Elon Musk and obviously J.D. Vance and the people sitting there. And then the next minute, Dodgy's done. Elon has finished his contract. And it's not a day later where Elon on his ex, his Twitter, attacks Donald Bulls, which Donald calls the beautiful bull. And he attacks him on that on Twitter. Donald replies. And then for 3-4 days, because we've had this slap on slap, nearly like a child's school play, you know, behind the curtain of who's doing what and who's saying what. And the vice president now has got involved saying that, you know, it could be a hoax. It's a prank between the two. Well, let me quickly tell you and summarize it. In one Twitter, which I can't believe that you would put that as a prank, Elon Musk says that the reason why the Epstein evidential documents and tapes won't come out is because Donald Trump is in them. And then he says, have a good day. I would say if that is the kind of prank they play on each other, it's a sickening prank because you've got people out there that take the United States of America, what has been happening since the Trump entry, serious. Serious because there is a lot of American aid that's cut. There's a lot of people that are now fighting America for tariffs. There's a lot of possibilities of people that can't enter America anymore because of Donald's position on refugees. So people look at that house and they also look at what's happening. And I'm shocked as to this sudden revelation that they're not getting on. And allegedly, people are posting and saying, but it's a prank. Well, it's very far away from the 4th of July or the 1st of April. So we are watching what's going on. But if they clash, I will not be surprised because you've got two dominant lions that are sitting in one room. One of them, the wealthiest man on earth. And you can basically say Donald Trump, the most powerful politician running the United States of America, if they really are getting at loggerheads. Chris, that's not fine. And then I now also see questions already. Is the program of South African refugee ship now off? Is there now going to be less spoken about South Africa? Time will tell. and let us see what happens. But it doesn't bode good for both of the images, in my opinion.
But Elon writing that if it were not for him, Trump would not be president.
Yeah, there comes the, you know, there comes the narcissistic attitude of control, of saying, but you know, I put you there. You know, I made you. I put you there. And without me, you nothing. Well, I don't know. It could be because you know that Elon gave more than $200-300 million to his campaign. But Donald Trump made the campaign before Elon made his second campaign. And this is the problem, Chris, with money and politics. And we'll move into it now with Zuma, where plain and simply, is it a good thing that people that have so much money should have so much influence on politics vis-a-vis controlling us as normal human beings?
Now, what is definitely not a prank is the long legal delays in holding to account powerful politicians in South Africa, former President Jacob Zuma and former Free State Premier Ace Magashule.
Flies totally against what we've got as, can I call it, a fundamental base right within justice in this country. And it is a very mere simple that says, justice delayed is justice denied. Now, working on that principle, I would find that both Ace Magashule and Jacob Zuma indifferently has played the game that seemingly Ace's case is not delayed on the same basis that Zuma's case is delayed. I put it to you that Zuma's case is deliberately sabotaged, deliberately kept on appeal after appeal, and that he is playing for time. Whereas if you look at Ace Magashule's scenario, where his case has now been set out for the 26th of January 2026, that's another 8 months, where in actual fact, Ace Magashule got up in court and said, this cannot continue like this anymore. So two different reasons, maybe. But I'll tell you what, South Africa can't wait for those cases to run into its time so that we can have an outcome. Because this is now a 3 to 2 to 10 year. And again, Mr. Zuma and his dramatic team, they applied with the company called Tails, which is a French company that does armament. You will remember that Tails or Thales was involved in the so-called corruption of the 500,000 rand per year payment to Jacob Zuma. Both of them asked that this case be thrown out. Both of them suffered the consequence last month where the court said, no, thank you. We are going to hear this case. So those are the two cases, Chris, that are politically kind of dogging the system, interrupting what normally we could get on with in politics, because you sit with Zuma at MK and the future of ACES politics is off the floor. The ones that are still waiting to come is the ex-speaker. You've got to sit and look at, will there be any touch of Zondo? And then again, the call for the relief of Madame Batoy from being the head of the prosecuting division, who suddenly reveals on Leanne's show that there is huge problems as far as she's concerned with people serving in the NPA who might be driving a different agenda. Really? You're only noticing it now? Well, at least it's spoken. And now let's see what pops out from that, because many people now, political parties, waking up and saying, she must be removed.
Yeah, I think while Zuma is playing for time, Magashule wants this over and done with so that he can focus on his political priorities in the run-up to the election, Neil.
Are you not far wrong? I mean, I come from that era where people scratch, you know, Ace, and in his massive conference rooms, Ace could not be beaten. You know, he was the man. and then suddenly he became a pariah, but still popular within the Free
State.
Remember when
he became a pariah after he challenged Ramaphosa?
Yeah, sure. Remember? At that conference. And then he became the SG. And it's not been settled since. And those scores of those people that are on the RET, that are on Cyril, there's still a battle line coming up there. And make no mistake, justice, it's funny, runs smoother when the top echelons want the oil to flow.
Yeah, Deputy President Paul Mashatile may still get a taste of that. Meanwhile, was Floyd Shivambu the only person who couldn't foresee that he would be redeployed as SG in former President Jacob Zuma's MKP?
Chris, nothing is worse, trust me, than a woman's scorn. You know, there are these sayings where they always bring out early bird catches worm, la, la, la. One of the best ones I have ever seen repeat itself is that exact one. Nothing is worse than a woman's fault. So let me tell you, it was a disaster from day one that Floyd went from EFF to MK. Because he could charm everybody. You know, he's a charming guy. And he has the size to fit it. And he would speak. And people would say, now there's structure at MK. Now there's going to be groundwork done. He's the national coordinator. He is the SG. But in one person's view, the daggers were out. And it wasn't when. It wasn't what. It was how soon. The mistake that he made, and I think many others would make, I think this is the fifth SG in their existence as a party, is you don't make trouble with daddy's daughter. Jy neek nie met die kind en die dogter van die pa nie. Now, that's what he did. There was zero relationship between Dudi Zila and between Floyd Shivambu. They didn't get it off since day one. He came in there with his antics, his tactics, his flamboyance, and a little bit of arrogance, but he miscalculated the popular scenario of Jay-Z's daughter, who emphatically is one of the cornerstones of MK Party. And I think when this matter, that little Floyd started to rise, go to Malawi, attend a church service of a person who is currently a felon, a criminal indicted human being, Shepherd Bushiri, calling himself the Major, he went to his church. And then no matter that that family has a warrant of arrest and skip this country under bail, Floyd decides that's the church he's going to attend. He comes back and let me tell you, those that had the spanners and the tongs and the knives ready, this is the reason they say that they had to remove him as SG and make him now a normal person in parliament. What dynamics, what surprise. Again this week, what's going to pop out the MK box? Because damn it, I don't know. They are so very, so multitude of colored, big and size boxes. We're waiting for the next one.
Well, party constitution or not of the economic freedom fighters, I have no doubt that Commander-in-Chief Julius Malema would welcome Floyd back, especially as he is facing international pressure from the UK and the US for action against himself.
Yeah, I think he used the word over his dead body. You know, many people hope so. But it's not real. They split. I don't know how far those bridges have fallen apart. I think it would be very difficult, I might eat my words, for a Floyd re-entry into the EFF. It will just make it a mockery and prove so many other things right. Whereas daily, at this current moment, Julius Malema is losing ground. Julius Malema is not on the tip of the tongue anymore. The only reason why Julius is now again stuck up his neck like a pint-sized little Cape Cobra is because he got mentioned in the White House and someone played a video about him. But what he does not understand is that Julius has become the pariah of the world. People are now using him. He got thrown under the bus, Chris. John Steinhausen threw him under the bus and Cyril threw him under the bus. Somebody tires hit his forehead from trucks. They couldn't wait to throw him more. So everybody said, but it's him. He's the rambling little jelly tot. He's the guy that's making a mock, but then he's not too much. He's not too big. Rubbish. You give Julius one opportunity. He'll go for it. And now the rumor comes out. Still waiting for the confirmation that in 2023, an actual case was being investigated, Chris, by the United Kingdom Crime a National Body, the CNA, and in collaboration with Interpol. They found a company that was registered, apparently called Rutherford Consulting, registered in the UK, London, and that there were various entities and people, specifically from the African continent, that were beneficiaries to this company that was set up as a so-called Pan-African consultancy entity, where monies and deals would flow. And they are saying that our Uncle Julius allegedly is part of the beneficiaries and that a bench warrant was served in his absentia by a middle court magistrate. All of this that I just told you now is very interesting. Not carried by the mainline media. I got a bit of it from Twitter. I got a bit from UK Mail. And we're putting it on the table that if so, if this is a story, then Chris, that's maybe the reason why Mr. Malema didn't rush onto an aircraft and rather than said they snubbed him on his visa and he couldn't go. It is possible that he heard of this bench warrant before he got onto that plane and merrily scuff off to London and be beaten by the bobbies the minute that he lands there. Story to follow, story to monitor, and if it is true, it just adds to the woes of the international status that people are giving that man, well deservedly so, that he is a negative politician, that he is a person that fuels himself on hatred for the specific white race, and that people are going to catch him at his own game.
Meanwhile, Neil, what do you make of the police minister's plan to fix the police?
Well, you know, they always say new brooms cleaner. It's not new broom anymore. He's been with us for nearly a year. And Chris, I am afraid that the minister, or who I told you I have got a little bit of hope for in the beginning when he replaced that other dramatic moron, that we might see change. Every week, Ian Cameron in the portfolio committee is attacking the police by pointing out horrendous collapses of departments within the policing service. And one of the most important ones, all of them vital, is crime intelligence. And crime intelligence is currently underfunded, understaffed, and does not have the, can I call it, old sergeant major with a stick that had so much advice and could train up the next forms of Sherlock Holmes. And they are now finding out that it's empty. They are finding the cupboards bare. And if they don't step up, they are going to get so many new green recruits into the system that they are going to lose all the old trainers. There's a new batch of 10,000 recruits, I think, that are in the academic system. But again, Chris, a very good electrician told me, it's not understanding the wires. It is understanding which wires not to connect to which. And that you can only get through time. A broken system within SAPS. We still are saying there's a broken system within our Defence Force. And those are the two uniform conclaves that we need to watch. Minister Mchunu is saying some sporadic changes are coming. He's looking forward to making them. Well, we've been watching those and nothing's popped out of the box except mist. So very important to study what they are saying and see what they can put on the table. But because it's a bit too much, too late to just have a turnover tomorrow. And we will definitely have to look at it with intense eyes as to what he will bring to the table.
Now, in a litany of legal challenges to government, the latest one is now to the 941 billion NHI Act, Neil.
You know, Chris, I watched the show the other day where we were speaking about the unraveling of, can I call it, the economy of today. Now, luckily, you and I aren't economists. You know, we go look at investigative cases that are normally linked to crime, intelligence, attacks on civil society. If you look at where we are today, we've just gone through a period about a word called genocide, and that's specifically linked to humanity. But because I heard a phrase now, which I must tell you will stick and stand the in-depth scrutiny if need to, and that is economic genocide. And if you go and look at the economic genocide ideology, you and I have been using that for months already to say, this economy is falling apart. It's going to suffer the consequence of Armageddon, genocide, whatever you want to call it, economically. We've run out of money. We can't tax our people anymore. We're putting bundles of cash still where we think we can make it. But because at the end of the day, the crux is that this country has been able to climb on growth 1% a year, but the population is growing by 2%. We are not equalizing as well the monies that we are getting into the monies that we're expending. We've now realized that this system is even more corrupt than corrupt. And we now also realize, Chris, that the borrowing scenario of our country is coming to an end. And therefore, if you look at any poignant position of the monies and the system that you are speaking of, it's grinding to a halt. And I'm sorry, I don't know where we're going to get the petrol for.
I asked somebody the other day where he saw the country in 10 years' time, Neil. What do you think?
Because it's going to go two ways. It's going to be belligerent and it's going to be an entity that will go from dust to dust. I'm talking about those roving scenarios of empty shops, failed malls, no more retail, less and less farming, less and less food security. All countries will align with us. No one can argue that America's attention on our country brought attention home to the people here. So it's going to be either or, not if. We are going to go down the drain in the next 2-3 years where we have no more fiscal input, where we have no more companies wanting to provide us with FDI, unless we change the laws. And the laws must be the laws of attraction that allow people to look at our country as positive, not as a negative. But Chris, they're not, because the mining sector is writing worse BEE laws. We have the new BEE system. we have more 100 billion into black management. We now have the Employment Equity Act, Chris, that tells you who you can and cannot appoint in your own business should you have 50 people or more. And then finally, there's exchange control. You put that together, that's not a package of investment, that's a hand grenade. That's a package IED that will explode economically into your face. In Vrachtag, we're not getting it right, Chris. We're not getting the flow right where we can say to each other, ta-ra, no more red tape, here's red carpet. Red tape gone, red carpet here. And the problem lies, you've got people in the economy, people in government that are twats. They are absolutely twats. They are clueless. They have no competency. I mean, we're still chasing, Chris, people that are in Praza, that are spooks, that are getting paid. And it's not the only, it's in the SASSA system, where billions of our money are paid to ghost workers. And now they launch a program, tell us who you are. Why, what? You've got a government department that's launching a new program. Tell us who you are. You don't know who's working for you. So you have to launch an internal governmental program. Tell us who you are. Yeah, but yes, mal. So if we can't even count the people that are alive working for us, Chris, how do we know who's dying out of the system? And therefore, I know every Sunday we bang at that, but I am clear. It's the laws that must be changed. It's the ANC that must be removed. And a new government must come in. It's going to be a coalition government, but it's going to start somewhere. And I see yesterday Joburg celebrating at various places the new cleanup strategy. And to mock that all, we get a news clip this morning that Madam Helen Ziller might be putting up her name for mayor of Joburg next year. So that's breaking news when I wake up this morning. Now, to a lot of people, that will send icicles down their back because they know if she comes in there, there's a broom she brings with. And I'm telling you right now, if that is going to be the strategy, that the DA is going to go back there and try and encapsulate the mega cities, well, it's better than what we've got. And at the end of the day, Chris, it's here on our doorstep. The problem is we're running out of intellectual capacity, intellectual prowess, and intellectual capability, not for now, but for the future. So I hope there's a plan that this country gets up and takes on the people that lied in the previous elections that broke our cities in the way they did.
Indeed, Neil. And before I go, a happy Father's Day to you and to all the fathers out there. And we spare a thought for the children who don't have fathers.
Yeah, absolutely. I am dad today and granddad, so taking two of them. To all other fathers who have the time to be with their sons and daughters and family, just a voice of reason whilst they're here and whilst they are with us. Do not spend 1 minute without thinking, calling, acknowledging, because time flies, Chris, and tomorrow you don't have that. So blessings to everybody, and specifically to our children that make it worthwhile. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. That was Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on the Sunday show with Biz News. And I am Chris Stain. Bye, Neil.